Please pray with me. Dear Lord, please give me a fitting and pleasant manner of speech so that my conversations may be pleasing to you and to those who hear it for Jesus' sake and for my eternal welfare. Amen. Amen. Years ago, while I was undergoing treatment for automobile accident injuries, my chiropractor would push, pull, and crack me. While I cared for him pastorally through his divorce and other life issues. And one day while the doctor was pulling, snapping, and cracking me, he thanked me for asking him a question that he said changed his spiritual, emotional, and physical life. That question I asked the doctor, I now ask you. How's your prayer life? How is your prayer life? In today's lesson, the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus taught them how to pray, and they taught us the Jesus way to pray when they wrote the Gospels. And yet we still yearn to learn how to pray because our prayer lives aren't very nourishing. Our deep desire as human beings to connect to God through prayer can easily be proven. One simply needs to type prayer in the search box at the Kindle store, hit enter, and you will quickly discover that there are 24,570 books concerning prayer. One of which is the Episcopal Church's Book of Common Prayer. Every Book of Common Prayer from the original 1549 Thomas Cranmer English version to the slightly different versions we find today in different countries and in over 200 languages still unites every Episcopalian to every other Episcopalian and every Anglican throughout the worldwide Anglican communion together through the beautiful and meaningful prayers that are prayed during morning prayer, Compline, the Holy Eucharist, ministration to the sick, and many other corporate and individual prayers. But a book with such well-written and beautiful prayers can handicap a person's prayer life. A phenomenon I noticed during hospital chaplaincy training in seminary. Prayer is vital for each and every one of us. Perhaps even more so for institutional ministers, such as hospital chaplains, prison chaplains, because their days can be very physically, emotionally, and spiritually long and intense as they talk, cry, laugh, and pray with and for people from all walks of life. Amid such diversity of race, culture, and tradition, I became very aware that prayer can be a very private thing or something someone doesn't even desire, which taught me to always ask before I left the hospital room, would you like me to pray with you? Would you like me to pray with you? Or would you like me to keep you in my prayers? And most of the time, people would reply either, please pray with me, or just keep me in your prayers. Very few people would actually say, I don't want you to pray for me. During a peer review session during this training, Linda and Jeff asked me, Jim, why don't you carry the prayer book or a Bible when you make your hospital visits? It's a good question. I replied, most people here aren't Episcopalians. They're Baptist, they're Pentecostals, or they're unchurched. The Baptists and the Pentecostals want you to pray extemporaneous prayers. They don't want you to pray a prayer out of the prayer book. And when I go into the room of someone who is unchurched, an atheist, or another religion, when they see someone come into the room with a big black book, they think I've come to beat them up over the head with scripture and tell them how bad they've been. That's why I leave the prayer book and the Bible downstairs and carry a copy of the Ministration to the Sick in my back pocket. And then I asked them, why do you carry the prayer book? Both Linda and Jeff both had the exact same answer. We need it. It has all our prayers in it. Curious, I asked, can't you pray without the prayer book? And Linda said, I'm scared to pray with other people without it. And Jeff said, I don't know what I would say. Seminarians and priests aren't the only ones who fall prey to beautifully written prayers. For instance, when a worship leader prays during the prayers of the people, let us pray for our own needs and those of others. Or you may now say your own petitions and your own thanksgivings. How many of us actually verbally mention someone or lift up our prayers of thanksgiving by name? Perhaps we don't speak aloud our petitions and thanksgivings because we're maybe ashamed of what we are actually thankful for. We don't want the people next to us to know that we actually do need prayers. Or we're afraid that if we speak what's in our hearts, God might not answer our prayers. But maybe the reason is even more subtle. Maybe we have allowed the Book of Common Prayer and other prayer books to handicap our prayers to God by preventing our prayers from being a time of quiet listening to God, of hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, and of allowing the free flow of unprepared prayer to escape from our souls. The disciples, today we find out, were handicapped by stagnant prayers that continually failed to give them the spiritual nourishment they needed to get through the day. And seeing how Jesus was transformed when he prayed with God, they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus responded, not with long explanations of how to pray, but with a very simple, short explanation about how to pray. Jesus told them, when you pray, say, Father, your name is holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. In response to Jesus' teaching on how to pray, we can do one of three things. Number one, we can just ignore Jesus' teaching altogether. We can just ignore Jesus' teaching and do our own thing. Or we can pray by rote what we have learned to call the Lord's Prayer, which is actually Matthew's version of Jesus' teaching on prayer and not Luke's, which is what we heard today. Or the final one, we can use Jesus' teaching on prayer as a prayer outline. As a prayer outline that can be applied to our own specific needs. And it might look something like this. Dear God, your name is so holy. And I pray to you today because I'm having a really tough, difficult time waiting for your kingdom to come. Thank you for the food I have to eat because I know that there are people in this world that have little or nothing to eat. Please forgive me of the wrongs I've done to others, especially the horrible thoughts I had in traffic today. And when I lost my temper at work after my boss told me the project I worked so hard on needed more work. Help me to forgive my friend who backed into my car. And thank you for helping me to forgive my cousin, who never repaid me the $200 I loaned him 6 years ago. And one last thing, dear Lord, I have really, really, really been tempted to do things and to say things I know I shouldn't do or say. Dear Lord, do you think you could please give me the strength to not do those things I really want to do, but know I shouldn't do? In Jesus' most holy name I pray. Amen. Jesus, the master teacher, has already taught us how to pray from our hearts. And people have written beautiful prayers for those times when we need them. And there are times when we do need wonderfully beautiful written prayers. Therefore, because of those reasons, we can no longer say, I don't know how to pray, because we know how to pray. So ask yourself, how is my prayer life? How is my prayer life going? And in response to that question, and as you think about that question, do this. Set aside some time in your day to pray often, especially from your heart. Because your prayers, your individual prayers, they knock on the door of Christ's heart. And they open your heart to be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of eternal love, and the gift of peace, which passes all understanding. And now we will have a brief moment of reflection upon the scriptures and the sermon.